Have you ever wondered, is there more to the Word of God than just words on the page? Join us for an in-depth journey into the truth of God by means of open Socratic conversation. In Proverbs chapter 2, the Word of God says, "If you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Welcome to Hidden Treasures Revealed.
Good Tuesday evening, everyone. I'm Josh. I'm here with my brother, Sean. Sean, how you doing today?
Josh, I'm doing good. I am good to be back with you on Hidden Treasures Revealed, seeing what Yah's going to bring out tonight and what kind of conversation we're going to have, and just see what truth concepts that we can learn and we can give what Yah gives us to everybody else. So just like you, we were riding over together and talking about sometimes we got frustrated today and things, but good learning lessons, functional all around. So, good day.
Good, yeah. I had interesting issues with vehicle, but yeah, providing for that it worked out, that the parts that I needed were there and I was able to get them, and we'll work on it tomorrow. We'll go from there. So, starting off tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about something that came out last night when we gathered with Sergio and Edward. And Edward has been meeting with his wife, Jane, not with us now in the same place, but where he's at with her at their home. And he and her talked about church, which is really, it's not ironic. It's just how Mother works, because that's what our topic was, or part of our topic was Sunday morning. We talked back into a little bit of church and different concepts of the idea of church. So last night we were talking about it, and the idea of church or temple came to mind. And I just kind of started to dwell on that with Mother, and I was like, so what is the difference between a church and a temple? So looking into the definition, a church is a building where people gather for religious services. But while it's not being used for religious services, it's used for other community events. That's just quick definition of what it talks about. So it's not designed solely for the purpose of God. And you can spin that however you want to, or look at it a different way that, well, you know, we're getting people in and they're coming and, you know, there's God involved. Okay, but I've been in a church before. I mean, our old church we used to go to a long time ago was a very large building, and they would have all sorts of events there throughout the week besides church stuff. People would throw parties. They'd have, like, I think Tupperware at one point, baskets, stuff like that. So then looking into what the difference between church and temple. A temple is a smaller building that does not have a sanctuary, that has specific rooms for specific purposes. And it's designed to be that way because it is a holy place for holy things to take place. So that got me thinking, the tabernacle from the Old Testament was designed the same way. You wouldn't be having a pizza party in the outer court where you have the brazen altar and the sacrificing of the animals. You wouldn't be hanging out there, gathering, playing games or something like that. There was a purpose there. It was there to, you were meant to gather there, you were meant to convey a message, and then there was a work of Yah to be done there. And if you were not participating in that work, after you concluded your business, it was time for you to leave, and someone else would come in. You definitely would not be doing that in the Holy of Holies or the holy place. So that got me thinking, and I was like, wow, okay, so it's giving a physical representation of what the temple should be. And we discussed that for a little bit back and forth because Edward brought up the aspect of, well, we're the temple now. And I was like, you're right with the mindset of the spiritual to the physical. Yes, we are designed to be the temple of Yah, which means we carry Yah with us wherever we go with circumcision of the heart. It's a dwelling place that we're in. Mother's in us. Okay, so we dwell in Yusha, and therefore we have the Holy of Holy in us, which is Mother. The aspect of church is a gathering concept. It's a place to gather and meet. That's fine. We have a gathering. We don't really call ourselves a church. We call ourselves a gathering. Why? Because we're a gathering of the body of believers. Not negating that you shouldn't gather as a group and discuss spiritual things. This is a gathering. Every time we do the podcast, it's a gathering. Every time we meet outside of that, it's a gathering. When we walk, it's a gathering. Scripture makes it clear, when two or more are gathered in my name, I am there. So that clarifies that Yah is with us when we are gathered in numbers for that reason. And that's designed to be that way to show unity. And because that's how family is. If you want to be together, you want to be together. We're a family of Yah. Yah designed that to be in us because that's what Yah wants. Otherwise, why would they go through everything they've gone through so we could have a relationship with them? Because they want the relationship. So as we were talking about that, it kind of led into understanding more about the temple aspect and self, that we have a conscious mind and the lower conscious mind and then the very sub-programming that we've all been raised with. So having a concept that when something's brought to your attention by Yah, it's like going into one of those rooms and pulling something out and saying, hey, this room's designed for this purpose and faith now. It's not designed for selfishness. It's not designed for anger that leads to unrighteousness. So you need to evaluate why you get angry at this. Oh, that deals with selfishness. Yes, it does. So what needs to come out of that room and get put out of the church and then put back into that room to be appropriate so that now that room remains holy? Wow. It's designed for a specific purpose. Okay. So we started to talk about those things. And more was coming out to kind of understand an aspect of mind, that the sanctuary representation in the mind is like a processing center where you kind of have all your information that comes in. And you're like, okay, well, let me figure out, do I need to hold on to this? Do I need to let this go? Like at work, I don't need to hold on to everything that happens at work. I don't need to remember every sandwich I made. But for that moment, I need to make that sandwich and focus on it. Could I recall some of the stuff I did throughout the day? Yeah, but not all of it. And then evaluating that, is this critical to faith? If I made the sandwich wrong, well, no, what's my process in it? Okay, I should slow down more and focus. Do the best I can. Okay, that applies to faith, but that doesn't just apply to this. That applies to everything in my life. Okay, that goes in the room. Somebody makes a comment at work about something. Does that need to go in a room? Well, no, that doesn't really apply to me. I overheard a comment, worldly conversation between two worldly people about a worldly thing. So that goes back out of the church. So we push it out of the sanctuary because we don't need to let it go anywhere else. Sanctuary being kind of like the processing where everyone can kind of gather, but the holy of holy places and the holy places are designed for those who have true faith, who are truly seeking on that journey with Yah. It's not a everybody come in no matter what, because we're not called to do that. Those who are seeking and searching, yes, by all means come in, but then it's our responsibility to question, are you really here to seek and search? Or are you just trying to see what's going on and then look down on us for it? That I'm just talking about from scripture point of view. So like the concept with the sanctuary, if you're not really for us, not really for Yah, with the understandings and teachings we have, why would you desire to come? Just to say you have an agreement with us, but then when you have something that disagrees, you want to leave, or you want to argue, or you want to fight. Well, that's not what we do. We don't argue. We don't fight. We're not meant to quarrel. If you have an issue, take it up with Yah, go through scripture, evaluate it there, then come back and we'll discuss it. So the sanctuary is a place to kind of hash that out in your mind or with someone else, because it's not a holy place. It's just a place to gather. And then as you hash things out and clarify it, then you decide if it goes into the Holy of Holies or, you know what, this is not something that needs to be in the holy or holy place. This needs to be out of my mind or out of this meeting. So that's just the start of where we're at, and we'll see where Mother takes it from there.
Just just thinking about this concept about church, that you and I came from a background of a Baptist church, and we were actually talking about this a little bit in the gathering time on Sunday morning. How many times have you heard this statement? Do you go to church? Well, I go to church. Well, we go to church on Sunday. We go to church on Wednesday. And I was just thinking about the aspect of this, just had several of the Word of God come to mind. We were actually told by Yah, by Yeshua, that from the true understanding of the church is the humble gathering. The church, from a true perspective, is the body of Messiah. It's not a building that, for example, you have First Baptist Church, First Presbyterian Church, First United Methodist, or Second Presbyterian, like all the different denominations. But from the aspect is the church is the body of believers. It's the body of Messiah. So there's one church, which is the church of Messiah, Yeshua. Now people will say, well, no, there's all kinds of churches. But Messiah is one body. Messiah is not bodies. Like, there isn't a church of Messiah here. Now, there is one body, but different groups of people. But the key is, and we've talked about this before, is being unified. One unified body, which is the church of Messiah, the humble gathering. And it's interesting because we can have the humble gathering meet in a building. The humble gathering can meet outside. It can meet in a room like this. It can be walking a trek outside at the park or wherever, driving in a car. So the aspect of church has gotten to where people look more at church from a building, like I go to church. Well, those that are pursuing true faith should say, I am the church, and I'm going to meet with the church members, the where it's not, it's more is put on the building versus the actual people itself. And with the tabernacle, it's giving you a picture of the gospel message, how it is the truth of God. And I had this thought when you were speaking with the temple part. The word says your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I had the word came to mind with that, that if anybody destroys God's temple, God will destroy them. And it made me think of, you get to the point where you fall away, you're blaspheming mother, you're destroying the temple, and then God will destroy you. That a temple is more of a dwelling place. Like you mentioned, the Holy of Holies is, it's, you have the holy place, which had like the tabernacle, the lampstand, the table of the showbread, the altar of incense. But then there was another room, a curtain, a veil to the holiest of all, which is where is mother, access to mother, the Holy Spirit. But think about that. Your body is to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. So mother will not dwell in somebody that has sin still in their heart. Now mother will come upon people, and we've had that. She'll come upon like John the Baptist in John, but she had to leave because he died. But with circumcision of the heart, she will come in and remove sin from your heart and put it in your body of flesh, so that mother dwells in your heart. So mother is dwelling there. The temple is a holy place. Well, there's no sin in a holy place because it's clean, it's pure. So it's getting us to a point where the tabernacle shows us the gospel message, to where the ultimate goal is circumcision of the heart, where you have the Ark of the Covenant where the fullness of Yah would dwell in you. You have the fullness of the Father, the law, the fullness of Yeshua, which is the jar of manna, and the rod that budded, mother. So you're now, you carry the Ark, which is the body of Messiah. You carry that around. And then at the final day, when you enter into the kingdom, you come out of the Ark because you come out of the body of Messiah. So with all this, I'm seeing for what you're talking about is that we will meet as the body of believers in Messiah. Like the goal is, it doesn't mean that everybody that's meeting there has to be in Messiah to meet, but the goal is to the we should be unified in what we're talking about in thought, to where we don't have arguments, we don't have quarrels, we don't have things like that. Or even if we have a question of something being true or not, we'll discuss it. We'll have a Socratic conversation. We're not going to argue, because argument has no place in the Church of Messiah, but discussion, talking things out. So it was just thinking that the temple, that's the sacred place, the indwelling of Yah within you, that you're the temple, you're the dwelling place of God. And then those that have the dwelling, those that have the dwelling of the indwelling of Mother within, you have, as it mentions in the Word, you have the fullness of deity in bodily form, which is you have the fullness of the Father, Abba, which is the aspect of repentance, the fullness of the Son, which is obedience, the fullness of Mother, the Holy Spirit, which is trust. And when you have the fullness of it, you have love, because you are now a part of God. And you are able to love because God is love. So I can just see where those that are listening out there, have you thought of pursuing your faith that the goal is to be a part of the church, which is the fullness of the Church of Messiah, and not just going to a place? Because think about it. How many denominations are there? How many religions are there that aren't unified? Because that's why you have denominations. Why do you have a denomination if you're unified? There's no reason for a denomination. It's just everybody's unified, so you don't need all these things, but there's differences, because the Presbyterians, the Methodists, the Lutheran, Baptist, all these other ones, they have different aspects of what they believe, but it should be what you believe should be lining up with the Bible, ultimately lining up with the Word of God, which the Word of God is in the Bible. But we don't depend on the Bible. We depend on the Word of God, because the Bible has been translated. And we talked about this Sunday, that we don't, as the Church of Messiah, we don't depend on translation, because translation is of man. Revelation is of the heavenly, which is of Mother, Yeshua, and the Father. We depend on that, because there's several things that are in the Word, that are in the Bible, that you just read about what the Bible says, that we would have no woman speaking in our church. Because if you go by translation, well, woman's not supposed to speak in church. Well, we know that's not true, because Mother is a female, so she's speaking all the time. Obviously, she's speaking in church. What Paul is saying is that if a woman is going to speak in church, she's not to speak as having authority over a man. That's not the way God intended it. You can have discussion, but Yah has appointed that for overseers, like with our gathering, me and Phil are the overseers, that Yah has put the man in the role of the overseer. That's Yah's design. And it's not for a woman to have authority over a man. Doesn't mean we don't have discussion. It doesn't mean that women don't teach, because women are told to teach the women and the children, which is good. It's just one of those where it's just the order of God, and that keeps the order the way it is. It's not saying in any way that women can't speak in church at all. But if you depend on the Bible for everything, then what you see the Bible says. Well, but that's a translation. It's just like if you don't speak my language, and I have an interpreter, the interpreter must understand my language in order to translate properly. Well, Yah is the best translator. The Hebrew is the original. They understand Hebrew. So Mother knows what the truth is, so depend on her. And it's not saying that everything that's written in the Bible is that everything is wrong. It just means that when you read it, yeah, help me to understand this. Mother, show me I'm not getting what this means. What's the truth of this? And then all of a sudden you'll get a concept. Oh my goodness, I never even realized that. I didn't see that, right? Because it's you've got to seek it by faith that man is fallible, but Yah isn't. Yah is perfect. So I'm seeing this as a good discussion point of, have you thought of when you, if you're Jewish or Muslim, wherever, and you go to a temple, well, you would look at that as a sacred place. You don't take worldly stuff in there. You don't bring alcohol in there and partying. And no, it's a sacred place. And that should be the same with Yah living in your heart. And you're, like you said, you're digging in your lower conscience and get this out of the house, get that out of the house, right? Because I'm dwelling here. Evaluate this, evaluate that. That is that something that should be here? Okay. Well, evaluate that. So this is, yeah, this is good, because a lot of people will assume that, yeah, you know, I'm saved because I go to church. But going to a building and listening to a message doesn't get you anywhere. Faith is the deal, because we were just recently talking about faith, that faith means that you've got to be willing to act without proof. Like, Josh, is your car going to start tomorrow?
I have full confidence that after I work on my vehicle tomorrow and fix the issue, that yes, it will start.
You've had faith in the past that your car is going to start. And that's the thing. Until it does start, it's faith all the way up to the point that it starts. And you can't live a life without faith. And we make statements that somebody doesn't have faith. And when we say that, we mean faith in Yah, the one true God, not faith in self, not faith in other things. So without faith, you can't do anything. Because think about it, I want to go to the door and leave. Well, I'm convinced that when I get up, that I'll be able to leave through the door. But if I don't get up and go towards the door, then I don't have faith that I'm going to get through the door. Now, when I get through the door, it's no longer faith, it's knowing. So see, that's why when Messiah returns on the clouds for the 1,000-year reign, faith in him disappears, because you see him in his glory. There is no more faith in him, because you see him. You know he exists. At that point, faith doesn't exist. So find faith in him by seeing, without seeing the actual tangible, that he's like you're sitting, like I know you're here because I have proof of it, because I can... You're here, I can see you, I can look into your eyes, but it's by faith that God wants you to pursue them without, well, I don't see them. Well, you do through creation, but for you to actually see their form and their body, you would have no chance for salvation. So that's why people don't think about this. If people say, well, God, if you exist, show me that you're there. Yah's not going to do that, because that eliminates your chance for faith, and you're going to end up in hell if we were to, all right, we're here. Oh, now I know. Now I'll know. You didn't have faith. Because faith is, I'm seeing this creation. There has to be a creator. That's impossible for these trees, these plants to exist. How do animals do what they do? How do they know how to do that? There's got to be, you know what? God exists. I can see that, and I'm going to pursue it. Then God will give you the proof. But if you don't do that and you demand from them first, they won't do it, because without faith it is impossible to please God, because you must believe they exist first and then believe that they reward those that diligently seek them. Well, why would you seek them if you've already seen them? Like, Josh, I'm not going to seek you right now because you're right here. Why do I need to seek you? But tomorrow... If I want to see you tomorrow, I'm going to have to have faith that I'll be able to see you tomorrow. But until it's known, faith is involved. But we still have faith. Like, we don't eliminate all faith. But some things we do know. I know Mother's female. I know Yeshua is male. I know Abba's male. I've heard their voices. I've had conversation with them. I know that they exist. They know I exist. But am I in the heavenly tabernacle seeing the lampstand and... No, but I see it spiritually. I don't have to see it, because I see it by faith. Therefore, that's why I see it. So it's not like, well, Yeshua, for you to exist, you need to be standing here, and I need to, haven't I given you evidence of my existence already, and you still don't believe? So you don't have enough evidence to, of course I do. But just like, what was it, Thomas? Well, until I see the nail prints and all that, then I'll believe. And Messiah, well, all right, you see? Blessed are those that don't see. Because what he's saying is faith, the woman that had the blood condition. Do you remember what Messiah told her? That when she reached out, why was she healed? Because of her faith. Your faith, if I could only touch the garment, and I could just see as she's touching, the power is getting ready. And when she touched him, all of a sudden power came out of him. Who touched me? What do you mean, who touched you? All these people? No, something, the power of my parents is, power came out, mother's working, what happened? And then what was the response? Lord, I just, your faith made you well. Because you were certain that I have the ability to do it, and you were willing to go without evidence, without proof. Same thing with God, that Messiah, your Messiah, heal me. No? Take me off this cross. We don't deserve this. You don't deserve this either. Take us down. Lord, I deserve to be here. Just remember me. I'm not, who am I to say anything to you? I'm the guilty one. That I know that you're God, and oh, faith, okay. It's just an interesting thing because we, and I'll share what came to mind for me. You know the scripture with Cain, where Cain murdered his brother, murdered Abel. And his punishment, he said, Lord, this punishment that you've given me is too great to bear. How can I bear it? And I was thinking today, and this came to mind with it. Cain, you will be a restless wanderer. And, well, what if somebody kills me? Well, I'm going to put a mark on Cain so that Cain won't be killed. And I thought, with what we talked about with the law and the prophets, have you ever wandered somewhere? Like, have you ever wandered through a... When you think of the word wander, what do you think of? Like you're wandering in the forest, or you're wandering in the street.
My mindset goes to, you don't really have a direction. You don't really have a start and an end. You just kind of take off. Like, I've wandered around downtown Stanton when I was younger with a friend looking for places to skate. You're just kind of, well, let's go this way. All right, well, maybe let's go this way. We walk a little bit. Okay, well, let's turn around and go that way again. And you don't have a set destination. You're just moving continually. You don't really know where you're going to go. You don't know, are you going to go left or right next? You just kind of make it up as you go because you don't have an end point. At some point, you'll just stop, and that's it.
Well, you hit it right on the head. You don't have a place to call home, or place, you don't know where you're going. Because I thought about this, like, if we're wandering through the forest, well, Josh, where are we going? I don't know. I just keep going, and we're just, but I'm going over to your house. I know exactly where I'm going. I'm not wandering. Wandering is, there's no really place for me to rest. I don't have a home. I'm just wandering. You ever heard like you wander from place to place? Well, think about it. What stood out to me was, there's a rest for the people of God, which is when you enter into Messiah, that's the Sabbath day. That's the day, the life of rest, like the day, like the time period of rest. Like in Messiah is the essence of the day, the day of rest, where you don't have sin. You can rest because you have no guilty conscience. You don't sin. You have peace with God. You've been released from the written code, so now you live by the spirit of it, so now you can rest from your works, you trying to be good enough, you trying to fighting against sin. Well, you've died to sin, and now you're raised to newness of life, so now you're a restful journey person. Like, we're on the way to the promised land. Like, I know where I'm going. I'm not we're not wanderers anymore. we know where we're going, but just as long as you stay on the path, don't wander to the left or to the right, be at rest. Like, we can be at rest and still be walking around. The rest is in the mind, in the peace in your mind and your soul. So I was just thinking about that, that being the Church of Messiah and having Mother in your heart, and you work on that temple and keeping it holy, you rest, and then therefore you're not wandering around. You're with Yah. Yah's leading you to where, no, I'm not wandering around from place to place like trying to find a home. I have a home, and it's with God. And was just thinking about, but with the teachings that are out there, when was the last time that you heard a message on the rest of God? Because that passage is in Hebrews, and the majority of the time, Hebrews, other than chapter 11, which is, quote, the faith chapter, it's ignored or disregarded because, well, that's for the Jews. It is for the Jews. It's for the Israel of God, not the nation necessarily of Israel, but the Israel of God, which is those that have faith in Messiah. So you find a place to where don't have Yah in anger of, I swore in my wrath, they will never enter my rest. Make sure you don't fall short of it. So when you're in the rest, you're not restless. And it's just giving you a picture of what life is going to be in the abyss, that people will be without a body to rest, and you're a restless wanderer. And so Yah giving him, do you see the physical where nobody's going to be able to kill you? The agony, the pain, the depression will never end, and you will never die in it. It will be continually getting worse and worse. You have no rest. So even in what's referred to as the Old Testament, we have a picture of hell, but the final spiritual death is being thrown into the abyss. But how much of that message is discussed in church? Or somebody may say, well, I go to the temple. Well, I don't go to a temple because I'm this or that. Or it's just so many things and concepts that we will use words but not know what they mean. And we even were just talking about some words recently, but I'll turn it back over to you. But that was was just sitting there thinking about, you hear different words like church, and just sometimes little clues. That was a word, like a clue will come out of, do you see where, if you really dig, there's a lot more information here to where, I mean, think about that you're just, Yah puts a mark on you, and you're just, you have no home, and you're just like, just go out walking. And you're just, I don't know where to go because there's no place to rest. Like, you, look, maybe I'll go to the field. Well, I can't rest there. Well, I'll wander over into the stream. Well, I can't rest there. And it's just, I'm not going to have any rest. And that's ultimately the thing, is that in Messiah is where you can lay down in the green pasture and be by the still water, because you have a place that you can rest. But that, to me, that is more agonizing than, like, think about, you're just tired and you just want to go to sleep and you can't. Like, you just cannot have any rest. Like, just give me a reprieve. Just, Josh, just one, just dip your finger in water. Like, even just that one little drop of water. Nope. Like, I mean, anything. Like, just, I could just see that as just one moment. And because I know we've experienced this, I just want to, just give me 20 minutes, 30 minutes. I just need, nope. And sometimes you don't get that, and you're like, why can't I just, and I just need a minute. And that's the thing. But in God, oh, you can take a deep breath. You're not condemned anymore. You do things, but it's not sin. And it's just a different life. So, but those are thoughts I had on that.
Well, no, not only, I mean, everything you said was coming in clearly. I mean, the one thing that I will go back to start off with, the comment of having other people come into the gathering, by all means, I want to make sure I'm clear on this. It's not we're excluding people from the gathering. The concept is, if you're searching for the truth and you want to learn and you want to question about it, then by all means, go ahead. But if it's a mindset of, well, what you're saying is wrong and I'm going to show you that you're wrong, that's not that's not where we don't gather for that reason. If you have something like that to discuss, we can meet at a different time and we can talk about it and we can walk through it. But my first question to anybody that does that, well, you're wrong in that. You should be doing, okay, have you evaluated the scripture that says, where do fights and quarrels come from among you? Do they not come from your own desires that dwell within you? So do you know why you feel the way you feel about what I'm saying or about what's being spoken with truth? Do you have scripture that contradicts what I'm saying or what's being said? Okay, so if you're not coming with scripture and you're not coming with a legitimate argument to question what we're talking about, you're just coming with what you've been raised in and what is in your programming, you're going to be told to evaluate your programming. And if you don't want to change that, then you can continue living in your programming and we're going to continue to follow the way. And that's not anything against anybody. That's just the truth of the matter. You should do the exact same thing. There's no reason for me to go after people that don't want to hear this message. I came for the sick. The healthy, if they're healthy, they don't need a doctor. I came to heal the sick, not the ones that feel like they're perfectly fine. So just clarifying that it's not a closed mind aspect. It's an open mind Socratic conversation. But with Socratic conversation, there's little emotion tied to that. And if emotion starts to rise, that's when the person that's having that emotional rise needs to be quiet and listen to themselves and figure out why they're having that rise. Take that up with Yah. Second thing is, as we were talking about this last night, the scripture you quoted, Sergio actually quoted last night, and then Edward led into talking to Jane about this and saying that the body is the temple and that's the way it's supposed to be. And according to scripture, yes, you have a physical representation and a spiritual representation, and that's what Yahushua was ultimately bringing when he made the statement, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it again. He wasn't talking about the physical temple they were in. He was talking about the body. And he was doing that for a purpose to show them that this is not what it's designed to be like. This is a shadow of things to come. I'm the thing to come. It's time to get away from what you've been living in the shadows of and walk in the light as I am in the light. And I was like, wow, that's a really good representation. It just added more depth to that scripture. And the concept that all started with that conversation with Edward and Jane, Jane actually brought it about. She actually, mother through her, I believe, definitely brought that out. And that's what started their conversation Sunday. Jane brought the concept of church out. And that's what Edward and her talked about. So it was a really awesome thing that mother did that through her. Again, showing unity. So talking about the aspect of church and the physical, we have that understanding, the gathering. Spiritual aspect, the concept of the temple. And where that dives in, scripture that came to me last night is actually, I'm going to read it really quick, is actually in Romans 6. And this ties into a little bit more. I had a couple more things that came out with what you were talking about. This is starting at verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin rule in your mortal bodies so that it makes you obey its desires. And do not offer any part of yourself to sin as instruments for wickedness. On the contrary, offer yourselves to God as people alive from the dead, and your various parts to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will not have authority over you, because you are not under legalism, but under grace. Therefore, what conclusion should be reached? Let us go on sinning, because we are not under legalism, but under grace? Heaven forbid it. Don't you know, if you present yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, then of the one you whom are obeying, you are now a slave of, whether of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. By God's grace, you, who were once slaves to sin, obeyed from the heart the pattern and the teachings that you were exposed to, and after you had been set free from sin, you became enslaved to righteousness. I am using a popular language because your human nature is so weak. This is scripture. For just as you used to offer various parts as slaves to impurity and lawlessness, which lead to more lawlessness, so now offer various parts of your body to righteousness, which leads to being made holy, set apart for God. For you were slaves to sin, and you were free in the relationship to righteousness. But what benefit did you derive from the things which you have now been ashamed? The end result of those things was death. However, now freed from sin and enslaved to God, you do get benefit. It consists of being made holy and set apart for God, and its end result is eternal life. For what one earns from sin is death, but eternal life is what one receives from a free gift from God in the union with Messiah, Yahushua, our Lord. So I know that's a little bit lengthy section of scripture, but tying into that, when we were reading that last night, we were like, wow, it goes so much deeper into the concept of be holy as I am holy. Those who claim to be in him must walk as he did. It gives you a concept of, wow. So being set apart is not something that you can't grasp. It clearly lays it out in Romans that that's the life you live if you're living the life of Messiah, that you're dead to sin, that your body is no longer an instrument of unrighteousness, wickedness, pleasures of the world. It's now a body that's designed to live a righteous life. Tying into that, how on earth can you live in sin and claim that you're righteous with God? So it goes back to that question of where do you stand with Yah? I mean, we've had podcasts in the past where that comes out. What life are you living? And then the other thing that came up when you started talking about the faith concept, that is the definition of living a righteous life of faith. Why? I read that the law that I used to live was sin, and the law I live now is a law of obedience in my mind. And as I continue to live that with faith and trust, working that out, I gain salvation. Why? Because I get circumcision of the heart by following the law. And when I get circumcision of the heart, I can now actually be obedient to the law. And now I can be disobedient to sin, ultimately rejecting sin. Now I can walk in holiness and righteousness. Why? Because I've desired to walk in righteousness. I've set my mind to walk in righteousness. And this came to me from when we were talking Thursday. Walking in righteousness with Yah gives you such a confidence of knowing what you're doing is right according to Yah. Not arrogance, but confidence. That when someone questions you on, you know what you're doing is wrong. No, it's not. You're wrong. I'm going to continue to do what I'm doing here. I'm going to leave you alone. Why? You don't want to talk about this? I'm living at peace. I'm at peace with my decision and the path I'm on. I'm not going to fight or argue with you on this. It's not worth it. And just continue to live. And honestly, I don't know about you, but if you can keep a calm, collect mind in a situation with someone who is not calm and collect, and they cannot get an emotional rise out of you, they will continue to increase and increase and increase and increase until they can try and get an emotional rise out of you. And that's just something I've learned, and I'm still learning as time goes on. So those are the thoughts that came to mind of what you were speaking of and some of the stuff that came out from last night. So just adding to the conversation there, curious what thoughts you have.
Christianity doesn't, where we came from, and we know because we've been there, they don't understand the aspect that you can live a life without sin. Because if you ask somebody, was Yeshua Messiah, or they would say Jesus, was he perfect? Yes. No. He wasn't. He wasn't perfect. He was perfected when he ascended into heaven, but he was living the life of obedience to his father and mother, but he was not perfect while he was here. And people think, well, he's the only one that could live without sin. If you think that, then you're not going to pursue getting away from sin because you think, well, Messiah did everything. He's the example for us to follow, because like you said, those who, it's not talking about those that aren't in faith. It says those that claim, like if you make a claim, like you make a claim for, a, like let's say you're on a gold rush years ago that like I'll stake my claim for this part of the land that that's mine. Like I claim this, like that's the faith I'm following. If you claim that, you should walk as he did. No, you must. Why? Because he's the example for us to follow, because Messiah, Yeshua, was made in every way just like us, yet without sin. So his life was, the difference between him and us is the age of accountability. When he came to, and the age of accountability isn't 7, 9, 11, each individual person's, whenever you have that connection where you understand, you have that connection where you understand, you're comprehending, and you are able to choose the right from the wrong. He chose obedience. We chose the selfishness, the sin. Now, other than he had the blood of his parents, the because he was conceived of the Spirit with Abba and Ima together, that he's got the blood of the Father within him, which is a better sacrifice because of his life of obedience. That's why it's a better sacrifice than us. But that's the difference, because people will look at it, well, no, nobody can be like Messiah. No, not only can you, you must be like him. And the way it is that you walk as he did. You do what he did. I do everything the Father asks me to do, tells me to do. That's what we do. We do everything the Spirit asks us to do. We do everything that Abba asks us to do. Because that's obedience, like you had read in Romans. You obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. We weren't given the tablets and the manna. We weren't physically given that, but we obeyed from the heart. We were a law unto ourselves. Because of faith, we believe God, that that's the law of God. That's what I'm going to do. Oh, so you believe from the heart, with the mind ultimately getting it into the heart. Because we were dead to righteousness when we were under the law. But the written code keeps you locked up under sin. But when you die to the law, as in Romans, you are dead to the law in the body of Messiah. Through him, that now you can live to another, you die to sin. So you're released from sin, and now you're joined to Messiah. We're ultimately the bride. He's the bridegroom. So you no longer are under law, but under grace. But under grace doesn't mean that you can just keep sinning. No. Why would you go back to what you have just left, just like you're released from prison? Why are you going back to the old ways? No, put to death the misdeeds of the body. So now you can live. We were living for selfishness in the past. Now we live to God. So now we live, we uphold the law now, where before we couldn't. We could only comply because we still have sin. So when sin is taken away and put in the body of flesh now, because I had this thought this evening, the reason that God put the sin in the body of flesh and not remove it completely, because how are you going to master sin? See, before, sin was the master because the written code was in place locking you up under sin. Sin is your master. That in your mind, no, I'm not doing these things, and you do them. I'm not doing that again, and you do it. That what I do not want to do, and that what I do not want to do, that I do, because in the mind, righteousness with God, in the heart, sin. And you fight it, and you fight it, and you fight it, and you push, and you claw, and you haven't got to the point where you've shedded your blood yet, and you're fighting in sin. But when you get to the point of putting yourself to death because you hate it so much, now we'll take the written code and roll that stone away, and mother will come in, and the door is open. But it's just like an open door. You have an open door, you can leave, but you have an open door, you can come in and you can go. But it's just like the prison door. It'd be like you open the door and you just sit there. The door is open. Go out, leave, get away from jail, get away from the life of sin. Because you had mentioned, and it's just a different translation than what I'm used to, but the sin is no longer your master because you're not under law, you're under grace. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Yeshua Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach. So how many people that are going to church think that they're safe, think that they're saved, but they're still under the law, they're locked up under sin, and they're deceived, and they think that because Messiah did his work that I accepted him and I'm safe, but you still have sin in your life. The wages, and you work and I work, the wages of your job is because of your labor. The wages of sin, so your payment that you get is death. One sin, 100 sins, a million sins. But the gift of God, we don't deserve it, is eternal life in Messiah. So we don't deserve it. We're better off than people. But with those that are listening, when you go to church, are you hearing a message of repent and get away from sin? Walk in righteousness with God by faith in Messiah? Or are you hearing Messiah has done everything, that you accept him as Lord and Savior, and you're saved, and but you still sin? And if you continue to sin on the great white throne judgment day, Messiah that you thought you had faith in will say plainly, get away from me, I never knew you, because you practiced lawlessness, not righteousness. Well, I did all these things. It wasn't about that. It's not by works of the law. It's, did you believe what we said, and did you get away from sin? You didn't? Over here. Well, I thought it was over here. Well, it's not over here. Because think about that. With the rest, I mentioned a little bit earlier that you don't have a guilty conscience. Why would you be yelling and screaming at the sun? It would be, brother, Sean, Josh. There's no yelling. There's no screaming. Good to see you. Because I know you. Sean, why are you acting like this? You don't need to be frustrated. You don't need to be. Is that what you should do? Just. Because I thought about this today, that Yah doesn't come to me in a loud, it's, should that have been done? Just something to think about. You know, to where it's, like in the Word, we talked about, like, the Yah's voice as a whisper. That, like, I don't need to yell at you. Now, there'll be times where they'll be firm. Like, there'll be a discipline for you, but not a punishment. Anything like that. That just saying that you go to church doesn't mean you're a part of the church. It just, there's so many deceptions and things going on that you think because you've been to this place for 30 years and you're a member that you're at the church and you're safe. And no, the Word of God says something completely different, because Josh, we've been on that side of it. And that's why people may look at this and say, you're just bashing people. It isn't bashing. We know. Listen to what we're saying and listen for the voice of Mother in this, that until you're on this side of it, you don't know. Well, you all don't know what you're talking about because, well, but we've been on your side. We know what it's like to go to church and come home and live the same life without any repentance, and you act a certain way there and then you act a different way elsewhere. We've been through all that. No more. That faith is your life. It's not just Sunday, Wednesday, and it's not about what somebody tells you. It's, is this true? Is this line up with the Word? And come on this side of it, just like one of those where spend a little time in our shoes before you would just sit there wrong. No. How do you know? Because people would put to us, well, you all are wrong. Okay. Well, we'll put it back to you. What if you're wrong? What if you're thinking your acceptance of this Jesus, Lord and Savior, isn't the path? And where do you end up? For us? Oh, that's not the way? Oh. Well, we're safe then, because we've been there. But this side of it, that because I don't know if you've ever seen this. Have you ever seen like last quotes of people before death? There was a guy, I remember because it was part of a presentation that I had. There was a guy that, and he's dead now, but he was the leader of the Church of Satan. And his name was Anton LaVey. And he had like this church in California. I remember reading a quote that he was on his like about ready to die. And he had some kind of vision. He was just like, oh no. I didn't realize. Oh no. It was something to that effect. And then that is not in any way what I thought it was. And then he, now, just from discernment that, yeah, because you thought, and now you're seeing God as a terror. You have that guilty conscience and, oh no, I didn't realize, because it wasn't, oh man, this is great. Man, Abba, Yeshua, Mother. It wasn't like, what was his name that got stoned that saw God? Stephen. Look, I see Messiah at the right hand of God. It was, oh no. And people say, no, but, you know, because he didn't accept, or whatever anybody would say. But it's like, you don't want to be in that place of you're dying and, oh no. Because at that point, wherever you're going to go is locked in place and you can't change it. It's fixed. So really, when you're listening to the podcast, and we've said this before, this should not be somebody's church. No, because you're not, yes, you're listening, like you had mentioned with Yeshua, that people are listening to him and gathering around. But who are the ones that were intimate? As the disciples, that he had the close-knit group that he was teaching so that they would go out, but he would let people would listen. He wouldn't say, nope, get away from me. Because think about the alien that in the Old Testament, that the alien, that alien could come in, but you've got to follow the rules on this. So you can come and meet with us, but if you want to be a part of the church, you're going to have to actually come to faith yourself. Just like Tori's looking into that, like, I really want to know what this is about so that I can be a part of the gathering and actually be a brother or sister in the family of God. And it's interesting because association doesn't mean that you're going to be accepted by God. Like you think you're a groupie. Oh, I'm a groupie because I'm with them. And no, you're hanging around with me, but you're not with me, because if you were with me, then you would be following the teaching. So you need to going around, but you think you just because you're around other people that yeah I'm a part of this. Yeah, but are you really a part of it? Because I had this thought, Josh, shouldn't it really be more the temple is the place where the believers go to worship? Like when our gathering, like the, and not that your house is a temple, but like the actual gathering place, I was just seeing as the temple or the church goes to meet. Well, think about it. If, and we know it's true, not just an if, but Mother is in your heart, the temple, that Mother's within you, then doesn't it make more sense where, all right, I got to have quiet time. So quiet time is over here. And no, you're in the temple, that it's quiet. Are you letting things get noisy? Are you letting, just talk to me? You know, to where it doesn't have, because, and I still do that too, like, well, I just want to just be quiet and just be quiet within yourself. You're in the temple. You're in the holy place. So why would I not speak to you? Why would I not? Oh, you're letting all that noise affect you? You know, kind of thing, to where you're in the temple, and then, because think about it, the church is referred to as the body of Messiah. Well, Messiah is in the temple. So you're, well, so you're hidden in Christ in God. So you're in the temple in Messiah. So it's like Messiah talking to Abba and Ema. And are they like, hey, Yeshua, we need to have quiet time. We need to, and let me premise this. This is not in any way discounting quiet time. It's a way to start. And you can have that. And that's great. We're not, even for people in our own gathering that are listening, we're not saying that don't have quiet time. But you're not going to be able to get into a room and be quiet all the time. You've got to learn to be quiet in the noise where you're focusing in on and we like different kinds of music, but you're listening to the radio, that you're on that frequency, you're listening to that station. You can't listen to the other station unless you switch it to another. So sometimes we'll have the other station playing and cut that off so that you can hear the other station. Yeah, you can have two radios going at the same time, but it's you're not going to be able to hear very well in that. But I'm just for those that are listening that don't assume that just because somebody else has been doing something and you've been going all your life and your family's going to church and that you're in this safe place, because faith is individual. Each person has their own faith. You can't borrow mine. I can't borrow yours. So it should be those that are pursuing faith and being in faith that meet together where we can help each other and talk, but it's still an individual thing. Like each person is going to stand in front of Yah individually. It's not everybody stands there together and then now with each one standing there in Messiah, I can't find anything that would keep you out of the kingdom. So I'm seeing my son. So go on in. I don't, because you're hidden in there, but yeah, there's just a lot to this, but just really was coming around to, I know from just from experience that you think that you know what you know because of the cognitive dissonance will kick in if you hear something that doesn't sound right or on there, because I had a guy I used to work with and he was like, nope, that's not right, but would never explain why his way was right. It was like, no, that's wrong, because it doesn't, nope, that's wrong. And but we would never, and where I was then, I didn't question about it. I'd be like, well, you keep saying that this is wrong. Why is your way right? Like, why is this wrong? And didn't give an answer to that. But
just had a couple more things come to mind as we're sitting here talking about this. I don't know if you realize this or not. You said go to church multiple times in that conversation. And I was sitting there thinking about it. I was like, well, no, that's the wrong mindset because, you know, you are the church. And that's the – no. Look at it from this point of view. If you go to church, go to church. Until your mind and heart change that you are the church. And when your mind and heart change that I am the church, then you can focus on becoming a true part of the church as a temple that is set apart and holy for Yah, living your life that way. And when you do that, and once you've claimed that in faith, and you've been given circumcision of the heart to be that sacred, holy place set apart for Yah, now you're a part of the church, but now you're active in it. It goes back to that concept of, if your mindset, because I did this, we've both talked about this, Christianity, I've been steeped in Christianity, even to the point of going to, at one point, transferring to Liberty. That concept is, yeah, I'm going to church. I'm going to this school so I can, hey, I'm done going. Every moment of every day, I am in church. Wow, that's hard. Every minute, every moment, that means I can't ever like, oh, wait, that means it's, at work, when that guy yells at me, I can't yell back. Would you yell in church? Well, no. Okay. If you would not do it in what you would consider church, then you should never do it at any moment in your life. And if that's not your mindset, then all you're doing is justifying what you do on a daily basis. You go to church to get the comfort, to feel better, to get the pat on the back, to get the check mark. I even had someone make this comment to me. I started talking to them about some of the things we talk about in our gathering. And the statement made was, yeah, but do you realize how hard that is to do? I'm like, with y'all, things are possible. I do recognize there is sacrifice involved in it. Trust me, I know this. But that's the way it's supposed to be. Faith is not easy. It's not meant to be easy. It's meant to test you. It's meant to hurt in a part of suffering. Why? Because when you suffer for something, you truly show where your heart lies. If you suffer through something because you know it's right to do and you come out on the other side, it also gives you endurance to not go back through that again. Man, you remember how hard it was to almost lose your job for a year and you kind of just were out of it and you didn't know what was going on. You were kind of, yeah, that was really tough. Well, how'd you make it through that? I talked to Yah, and I was clearly told what to do in that situation, and I did exactly what I was told. And when I came out of that, Yah rewarded that with my obedience by allowing me to keep my job. So would you go back? I would never do that again in my life. I would never do what I did to get in that situation with my job again, ever. Really? Oh, it completely changed me. Why? Because it was a suffering process to go through that, and suffering causes a break, and a break in the right direction towards Yah sticks. That's the whole point of the break. You fix it towards Yah, not towards the world, and now it functions towards Yah, not towards the world. So those things come into mind, but tying back into the church aspect of the feel good, it's easy to go to church and act a certain way in church and perceive a certain way in church, just like it's easy to go home where no one's around and act a certain way at home. It's easy to act a certain way with this group of people than that group of people. And trust me, I can attest to this from someone who would try and fit in with every group in high school because of my own insecurities. I would try and fit in with everyone. I would try and be liked by everyone. I would try and talk to everybody. That's not the mindset with faith. The mindset with faith is, if no one else believes in what I'm doing, but I know it's right according to Yah, and Yah believes in me enough because I have circumcision of the heart, that's enough. I've set my mind that that's enough. Okay. And that is a tough place to be. Why? Because you're a rock at that point, just like Yusha was. You step out and say, this is what's right according to Yah. This is what I'm doing no matter what. And if everyone else around you hates you for doing that, that's a tough place to be in. But that's faith. It is not for the weak. It is not for the weary. It's designed to be a hard trial. Why? Because when you go through hard things and you suffer through hard things, you learn to get stronger and endure more. And that's what's expected in faith, is to become stronger. So those things come into mind, like I said, especially with the aspect of church. Go to a place where the word is being preached, the truth of Yah is being preached and talked about and discussed, until you decide that this is right, I know it's right, and I'm going to follow it. Okay, well, now you can start living as a member of that church. But it's not a church of the place you're going to. It's a church of Yah, looking at every action throughout the day, every thought throughout the day, to a point of, I'm going to be obedient to this. Nope, this isn't the right attitude to have. Nope, it's not okay. And I don't care if you do that a million times a day. You start living that way, and you will eventually become a part of the church of Yah. And when you're a part of the church of Yah, you can then gain circumcision of the heart with that aspect, like I said, and you are that set apart place now. And all the stuff that you've been doing through that practice of, no, this is what I'm doing. This is right according to Yah, and this is what I'm doing. And then you get mad again. And no, I'm not getting mad because that's not right according to Yah. And I know me being mad comes from my selfishness. It's not right. It's not okay. And it truly causes you suffering to go through what you're going through because you want to be right before Yah, but you keep doing things that you know are not right before Yah. That brings you to a place of brokenness, like we talk about. You continue to walk through that in repentance because you have to hit a broken point to have that break. I'm going to be a part of the church. Okay, well, now you're walking in repentance with that mindset, and you're struggling through repentance, and you're working on obedience, but you're not able to be obedient, and it's hard, and it's a tough challenge. And then you gain circumcision of the heart, and now you're able to walk in obedience. Once you get that aspect and you're able to truly walk in an obedient mind and action, you never want to go back because the amount of suffering it took to get to that point far outweighs anything you're going to go through in the future. There will be, but it far outweighs what's coming. So those are my thoughts that tied into that when we were talking about it.
Josh, have you ever heard, I don't know if you've heard this song before. It's actually a saying that's in the world that I've heard before, but it's a the chorus of it is from a singer, Kelly Clarkson, and it says, whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Have you ever heard that term? Or if it doesn't kill you, because I had a guy when I used to work at a different company that he would say that, if it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger. Have you ever heard that? Well, here's the, this came to mind when you were speaking, and me and Phil had talked about this on Saturday, that you know that that song isn't true, that chorus, because the premise is, well, you didn't die from it, so it makes you stronger. But if you don't die, you can't be stronger, because in faith, you have to die to sin in order to walk in righteousness. And it was one of those where I've heard that term before, and Yah brought out the fact of, do you see that if it doesn't kill you, then you can't be stronger, you can't change anything. Like, that's what an aspect of when you repent, which is you make a turn, that we had talked about, that from the Hebrew understanding that Yah gave, that it's, in essence, think of it as an example of if you took a house and burned it down, that your intent is, the reason you're burning this down is you are never, ever going to return to the point of, I'm going to destroy this to make sure that I do not return. And even if I look back, it's no life in it. It's gone. Like, meaning that, and we used to do this when I was a kid, we would actually burn trash in a barrel. Well, when you throw trash away, you forget about it. But this is like, I'm going to burn it to where it's just ashes and you never give it another thought. And that's the thing, is it has to kill you so that you can then be stronger, because my Yah strength is made perfect in weakness. So if you're strong, you don't need God. When you're weak is when you need them. And I wanted to go off what you were saying with the, we've been talking about faith, that faith is trust. You cannot trust somebody if you know the outcome already. Like, there has to be an unknown. There has to be something that you don't know, you don't understand. And that's why the scripture says, trust in the Lord, have faith in God with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. Because your own understanding is when you hear something that's of the word and you don't understand it, you lean on your own understanding, which kicks in the cognitive dissonance and turns you off to listening. And you have to set your mind that, I'm going to listen to this. I'm going to figure this out. Okay, well, because I want to know the truth. Well, if somebody doesn't have the mindset of, no matter how it affects me, I'm going to pursue this truth, I really want to know it, we could meet with them and we could sit there and we could be given in this room, we could be here and a vision could come in and we would get a vision of the abyss and you would see the what it is. And, well, no, that isn't true. And it doesn't matter. Whatever proof you would put in front of somebody, if they're not going to accept it or be willing, because sometimes people will put something and deceive people, but you put it in front of somebody and it's true, like with what we speak is true because it's the words of Yah. And yes, there's times that we'll need to be corrected because we will lean on our understanding and say, hey, is that really? Could you explain that? But Yah, as a matter of fact, and speak truth, that the truth of God is that you must get away from sin in order to enter the kingdom of God. You cannot remain a sinner and enter the kingdom of God. Now, you'll still sin for a time walking in repentance, but when you get circumcision of the heart, sin is taken out of your heart, put into your body of flesh, to where you don't sin because you're not in the flesh anymore. You're in the spirit. So it's not sin. It's not beneficial. Evaluate that. But for us, it's not sin, but for others, it is. So I had a moment where I lost my thought, but it'll come back. But anyway, it was the aspect of, you have to be willing. By faith means that I don't understand this. I don't understand everything. And Yah's okay with that. Repentance doesn't mean you understand everything. It means, this is God. This is the word of God. It's true. I'm going to pursue it. Yah, I don't understand it, but you are right. You're perfect. You don't do anything where there's any mistakes. and I'm going to pursue this because I want to do what's right, and I'm going to. Well, think about it, just in a job or anything, you can work with a person like that that they don't understand, but they're willing to work with me and willing to take correction versus somebody that, nope, you're wrong. Nope, I know everything. No, I can't work with you. But I will work with you because you're willing to work with me. See, that's the thing, the relationship. God, your word says that without faith, it's impossible to please you. I want to please you. I'm going to figure out how to please you, and that's faith. And I'm not going to expect for you to do everything for me. I'm going to pursue it because I'm looking at Noah. I'm looking at Joshua. I'm looking at Abraham. You came to them, and they did what you said. I'm going to do the same thing. And it's just like you follow that pattern. But what happens is so many times, and we came from this, is that you'll believe the person more than seeking it out for yourself. And this was even brought to me that my dependency has been on Phil from the beginning more than Yah. Well, now it's turned now because I've set my mind that I'm depending on God so that I can then depend on him, and just didn't realize that. And that's the same thing. It's like it's a journey you go through and you see things, and it's about, okay, I agree with God. I'm going to make a change. I'm not looking for perfection from you. I'm not looking for you to be absolutely perfect in everything. What I'm looking for is a willingness to accept it and change. And we'll just watch your obedience in that you're willing to do it no matter what the outcome. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. That's why we'll say, because the Word of God says it, that what is your life? It's just a vapor that appears for a moment and vanishes away. So we shouldn't say, we'll go here for a year, spend a year there, spend a month there. No. And we've been doing this. If the Lord wills, we'll do this or that. That's faith in God. I'm not going to put that a year from now that we'll be doing this podcast exactly the same. I don't know. If it's the Lord's will, we'll do the podcast exactly the way they want it. And it won't be any different than what they want. They want a change. It'll be made. We may not understand it. Don't need to understand it because they're perfect. See, that's the thing. One of the teachings we had, or concepts we had talked about, do you really understand more and more what it is to be God? They're perfect. We don't sit in the seat of being absolutely perfected. We're perfecting, which means we're improving. But what they do, they're perfect. Who are we to say that they're wrong? And that's the thing, that you can, but you have nothing to stand on, because if you were to say, yeah, you're wrong, well, I'm going to show you where I'm right, and then where are you going to be? But, yeah, take some time and think about what it's like to be on this side of it if you've never been, because it's just like anything. If you've never been on this side, you don't know what it's like. You know, if you don't know what circumcision of the heart is, you don't have it, then you're not going to be able to talk about it. You could talk about what it should be or could be, but you don't have the heart knowledge of it, and just so much of this is, don't put your dependency on people. Put your dependency on Yah, so that then you can depend on the people that are with you that are godly, that are depending upon God. So we depend on each other because we depend upon God, not we depend on each other, then we depend on God. It's God first. Then I'm able to trust you because I trust God. See, that's the thing that, like with, because I was sitting here and the thought came to mind, why not let Josh start? And I was like, well, and no, why not? That you've got the fullness of faith. What's going to happen? Like, is there a certain way that it has to be? No. But see, that takes faith that, well, what's going to happen? I don't know. But I've seen enough of what has happened. See, that's what, and Yah does this, is that they watch people and they see enough of somebody's life through their perfect discernment to say, we're confident that this one would be one to use or not to use. But they still have to choose to do it, just like Judas. Like, people think, well, Judas was just doomed, poor Judas. No, Judas was like he was because of his own choices, but Yah was watching his life. And think about it, with having perfect discernment, that this is the one we're going to choose to betray our son, because watching his life, we're confident, because see, they had to have faith that Judas was going to do. They didn't necessarily, well, it's interesting, like you could say, have faith in Judas. Well, they had faith in their son, but they have faith because they didn't know if Judas was going to do it or not, because he still has free will choice. But it'd be like if we had that perfect discernment and we watched somebody for 20 years straight, we know, because we've seen the same decision, maybe not made the exact same way, but we've seen this for 20 years with programming. What else is he going to do? Is he now? He could change, but that's the thing. Let Yah make those decisions like that. Not well. We think that. Well, just like the lots, Yah, which one do you want? And then the like with Acts at the beginning when they were, I think it was Matthias that they were looking for. Like Yah, who do you let it fall to the one that you want? You know, because really, who cares what we want? But.
Well, no, just as you're talking about the concept of faith and starting, we were talking about this before, and then, of course, the drive over here. You know, do you have anything for tonight? It's like, well, you know, we talked about something last night, and there was a lot of information on it that was really interesting, and it tied into a lot. There was a lot that was given by Mother and Abba, and it was awesome. And then we're sitting here just before it starts, it's like, so what are we going to talk about? I was like, well. And then your question, do you have anything? And I'm sitting here, I'm thinking about, well, you know, that was a lot of information, but I don't want to be stepping in front of Mother with anything. And do you know the information that you would discuss? Well, yeah, you gave it to me last night. Are you confident in that? That's what we're going to talk about tonight, Sean. Why? Because, okay, well, this is an opportunity for you to be confident. You discussed and set your heart that you are going to be more confident in your faith when it comes to stuff that you know. You talked about this last night. Now, there's plenty of things to add. I'm not saying that, oh, I knew everything about what we're going to talk about tonight. That's not at all where I'm getting at. You knew enough. I knew enough of the topic we were starting with to start talking about that and then trusting that we'll bring this out. And I know Mother will add more to it. And she absolutely has. There's so much that we've both gained from this conversation and discussed about that it ties back into this aspect. You have faith. If you're living a life of faith or you're seeking to live a life of faith, everything that came out tonight applies to you. It applies to me and Sean who have circumcision of the heart. It applies to those who have circumcision of the heart in the gathering, those who are looking to have circumcision of the heart, and those that are looking at us and saying, well, you know, I really, a lot of that's hard to swallow. You know, that's not something I've heard before. Okay. Well, if it's not something you've heard before, why haven't you heard before? Is it going against stuff that you've heard before? Or is it just going more in depth? I can't tell you how many years I sat in a church and asked them, hey, I am stuck at this point in my life where I feel like I am just not getting better at not doing these things that I know are wrong. I feel like I am just stuck. I feel like I'll go a week and I'll get a little bit better. And the following week, I'll do it twice as bad. And then I'll get a little bit better. And then I'll do it twice as bad. And then I'll get a little bit better. I'll do it twice as bad. And this pattern is not changing in any way. And I don't know why. I'm able to read more scripture. I've been quoting more scripture back and forth. I've been praying my perception of prayer at the time. I've been talking but not really listening for answers. And nothing's changing. And the answers that I got from the leaders were, just keep doing that and it'll get better. And I'm like, it's been years. It hasn't gotten better. Has it gotten better for you? Well, yeah, you know, I do better, but then there are some times when I do worse. So you're in the exact same pattern I'm in, but yet you're claiming to be a leader, and I'm looking to you for leadership. Okay, if you're stuck in the same pattern I'm stuck in, and you've been doing this for 15 years, okay, there's got to be something different than I'm missing. There's got to be something you've missed, something I've missed. I'm going to go figure this out. And with Yah's help, we figured it out. I mean, we found the truth. And it still took time. It still took years for me to figure that truth out. But it's definitely more information than I ever got sitting in a 20-minute conversation or a 20-minute being talked to in a pew. The in-depth of stuff that we've covered, that Mother has covered, that Abba has covered, that Yusha has covered for the last 15 years with us is more knowledge and more valuable information than I got in 35 years of being in a Baptist church. And going to a college that claimed to be the biggest on this coast, things like that. So just, we tie into this. We're not telling you that this is an end-all. We're telling you that this is information we have, and there is always room for expansion. there is always growth that comes through it. Just like same thing with Yusha when he spoke about things from the physical and tied it to a deeper spiritual meaning. The depth of the spiritual meaning of stuff is infinite. The depth of it goes forever. So just because you grasp something with a physical concept and are able to tie it to a spiritual understanding, that spiritual understanding goes so much deeper and branches through so many other things in Scripture than you could ever understand. But the starting point doesn't change. It's changing as it grows and gains in your mind. Oh, wow, well, this grows into this, which grows into this, which grows into this. It doesn't change from the base concept. So, and again, just tying back into the aspect of faith, you reap the fruit of what you plant. And that's going with anything. If you're planting the same thing over and over again, expecting a different plant, it is not going to happen. So when you're looking at a concept of faith, plant good truth in your life that lines up with Scripture, and you will reap a harvest of righteousness from that. If you're not reaping a harvest of righteousness, you need to look at what you're planting and how you're planting it. So.
And I'll do my best for a memory on this, on a quote from Cindy. If you always do what you've always done, you always get what you've always got. And Cindy, I don't know if you're listening or not, that's my best effort. I can't remember. But yeah, the concept of, because going to church, linear. Being the church, circular. Going to the church people, like, I mean, and I know the when I know what people mean when they say going to church, I'm going to drive to the building, which is the church gathering, and I understand what people are saying. But there's so much more to being the church of Messiah than just going to a building and, like you said, sitting in a pew and listening for an hour, 45 minutes in Sunday school, something like that, one day a week. Because if that's all you do, that's all you're going to get. It's like if you do an hour and 45 minutes a week, then you'll get an hour and 45 minutes a week. But from the truth of it is that faith is circular, continuing. It's a continual life. Everything for us is faith. So even if somebody were to say, well, it's a worldly thing, we can put it to faith, everything. That what are you doing, what you're doing at work, you could put it to a spiritual aspect. But if you're not looking for that, then it'll just be like, I'm going to church, done, check mark. Went to the Easter service, check mark. Went to the Christmas Eve service, check mark. I've done all these things. And that's the thing. It's not that you don't do things, but it's in the proper order of God of it's faith that brings works, not works that bring faith. I did all these things, but you didn't have faith. If you had faith in me, then you would do what I was doing, but you weren't doing what I was doing from the right perspective. So therefore, you gain nothing. It's just like with the job, the company that I work with, that you couldn't just come in and start working because you have to have faith just like I did. You have to apply and hope for a response. And then go in and you get the proof and you have faith that you're going to get an interview, then you get it. And then now that you're in, now, because you're a part of the company, we're going to show you what our guidelines are. These are the works that you are to do while you're here. Okay. And this is how you get your paycheck, by doing these works. Just like faith in God, that you accept that this is the faith in God, that there's works for you to do. You must work on yourself. Get rid of things that are dysfunctional, beat your body into submission, master sin, like all these things. It's just like coming into a company or a gathering. People think that grace just falls on you. No, grace has works in it. That grace says there's works for you to do, but I'm not looking for you to be absolutely perfected. I'm looking for obedience. So that's what I'm looking for. That grace doesn't mean that you continue to sin and ask for forgiveness. Grace means you have the opportunity to get away from sin by faith in my Son. Don't walk in sin anymore. Like with what you read in Romans, without Yah's help, you're not going to be able to read that and understand it. It will make no sense. So you're saying that, because I remember I saw a recent article at a church I used to go to, and the pastor himself admitted that he didn't understand what he was reading in Romans. Yeah, we were reading it, and yeah, it's just hard to understand. I didn't even understand it. But that's a problem. And it's not that you're dumb and you can't understand. It's you're a teacher of the Jews and you don't understand these things like Messiah and Nicodemus? You're a teacher of the Jews and you don't understand the spiritual aspect of this. That's a problem. Not like, oh, you're condemned, Nicodemus. Forget it. Just leave. It's just Nicodemus. Be careful what you're teaching, because you claim to have this faith. You better know what you're talking about. Because one, for you, and then for two, you're talking to other people that will listen to that, and you could lead them astray. And yes, they'll have to answer, but just be careful with what you're doing. Do you know what you're talking about? Like, are you knowing what you're talking about, not just that you just know everything? But there's just so much more to it, and that this just speaks of that faith is life, not you just do these things and that's it. That it's a full commitment. Because think about this term about faith, that do whatever you have in mind to do, I'm with you heart and soul. Well, I don't know what the person's going to do. That's why I have faith in them. I'm with you heart and soul. Do whatever you have in mind to do. I'm with you. Do it. I'm with you. I'm not leaving you. I'm not going to forsake you. And that's why God says that to us. Do whatever you have in mind to do. We're with you heart and soul. We'll just use the podcast as an example. We're with you. That if we want something brought out or changed, we'll change it. Just, you know, you're not 5 years old. You know, you're moving on in maturity. So we trust you to speak. And that's why you didn't know this, but I asked you. Yeah, this was before, a couple hours ago. I said, yeah, I'll make it clear what you want me and Josh to talk about. Well, the clarity was, I'm not getting anything necessarily, because you were going to get it. So it just helps me to have more trust in Yah that, well, Yah takes care of it. And not only do they take care of it, they add more information that you would even think about, to where we don't have a, and this isn't puffing ourselves up, we don't have a Bible sitting here. Like, it's the Word of God. It's Mother just saying this scripture, that scripture. That, like, there's no preparation that we met for an hour and talked about where we were going to, we're just having a conversation. And that's the thing. The Socratic conversation it's about a search for truth. Only Yah would know the absolute answer. But if they just gave it to us, then we have no discovery. So the Socratic is ask more questions to get more in depth, and then more truth and more truth and more truth, to where don't be satisfied. Just keep digging, because it's hidden treasure. As we say on the, well, Phil does the outro, that treasure hunters seek treasure nonstop. That's the circular, that, no, I want more treasure. Well, I like this gold. I want more gold. And no, I just have this one tile and I'll just bury it. And no, multiply it. Do something with it. So it's just a good lesson. I'm just saying that, you know, are you, get away from going to church and be the church. You know, and again, we're talking to people that want to know the truth. That, oh, there is something that you brought I wanted to bring out, was with people that, because Jen made a statement about in Christianity, that like go to a place that teaches the truth. I'm not saying that there's not places that aren't out there, but the majority of people are going to have to leave wherever they are in Christianity and a different religion, because if you're seeking after God for the truth of it, the majority of people must leave. Because we were talking about the abomination that causes desolation in Daniel, that's speaking to even a deeper spiritual truth of when you see that this truth is not lining up with God, that you must flee. And just like we did, that like we could, by conviction, by having a clear conscience, we can't stay here anymore, because this is saying it's okay to sin, and no, we cannot do this anymore. So I'm not saying that there's nobody out there that they're not searching for it or they don't teach the Bible, but I would say that 99.9% is that because of where we were, that you must flee for the hills, that when you see that this is not right, there's more to it, that Yah will lead you out, just like out of Egypt. You've got to leave Egypt. You've got to leave the life of sin. You've got to leave the worldly. You must leave Egypt and go with God. And you got to go in the desert. And you got to be able, because if you don't leave Egypt, you're not going to make it to the promised land. Well, Egypt is your selfishness, is your life of sin. And people don't want to leave Egypt. They want to be the Pharaoh. They want to be in control. So, but you must leave. Well, I mean, you have to put yourself to death. Meaning you put your selfishness to death. You don't physically kill yourself, there'd be suicide, but it's a sacrifice, and that's you have to be willing to die in order to live. Like you can't walk as Messiah did if you don't die his death. Like he said that you must eat my flesh, drink my blood. You've got to walk as I did, and you've got to die my death. If not, you have no life in you. You can't be resurrected if you don't die. But where do you hear that you've got to put yourself to death? What are you talking about? You're telling us to kill people? Yeah, you must kill yourself. But kill your selfishness, meaning you're dead to the selfishness, the sin, and I'm going to live for God. And you must be crucified, like Paul, you must be crucified with Christ in order to be buried with him in baptism, to be raised into newness of life. That's an absolute must. Gave me the cue. I was just thinking, that's a good pausing point, unless you have anything else. Nothing. Yeah, mother's covered a lot, but this is a good stopping point. See if you agree with this, I'm thinking that the overall theme is that the church, don't go to church, be the church. Could be a good, and again, like mother will direct, but I'm just thinking that if we were to bring this to a, let's give us a theme or something for this, is that really evaluate what it means as what the church actually is, which goes there. But well, Josh, until the next podcast, we'll conclude, and we'll see each other tomorrow, Lord willing, anyway. So we'll continue this. But everybody that's listening in, we'll leave it at this, that just very fortunate that Yah is allowing us to do this. But when you listen, and the key word is listen, listen intently and make sure that this lines up with the Word of God, what the Bible says, because if it doesn't, then Yah will correct us and help us. But don't just listen to us. It's just like in Revelation that when John was trying to bow down to the angel, no, worship God. Listen to God. Let God be true and every man a liar, because God is perfect. And we have moments where we could misspeak and things like that. Well, actually with Mother, not necessarily misspeak, but we say things out of programming, and then she'll say, hey, is that really the way it is or not? But trust in God, seek God by faith, pursue faith, seek with all your heart, and never stop, and you will find the truth of God, and you will find circumcision of the heart and your place in the kingdom. So until then, Sean and Josh, we're signing off.
Thank you for joining us today on Hidden Treasures Revealed. We want to leave you with this thought. The greatest treasure in life, and especially in faith, is discovery. If we try to convince you of things, you may gain head knowledge, but if we let you discover things, you will have heart knowledge to know and understand and be able to give a good answer for the faith that you have. Treasure hunters seek treasure nonstop. Seek the treasure of God through conversation with them and through their word. Ask, seek, and knock. Ask, and you will receive. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Seek the hidden treasure of God, and you will be blessed by it.